we can't go any further without praying, okay? So can we pray for the word? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. It's a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're with us today. God, that, you know, you're not just the God of special ceremonies and of services. Well, you're the God who abides. You're the God who never leaves us. You're the God that is with us. And Lord, we come together as the body to meet with you and to commune with you, knowing that, Lord, you've called us to assemble. Lord, the ecclesia, we are the assembled anointed ones today. So we've come together today, Lord, to worship you, to honor you, and we've come to preach from your word. Let your word be a lamp unto our feet. Let your word be a light unto our path. Lord, let your word, Lord, break heavy yokes. Let your word turn hearts of stone into hearts of flesh. Let your word be something, God, that would illuminate, Lord, the darkest recesses of our very soul and bring us into the light of your grace and of your mercy. We thank you that you are a God who is not dead, but you are a God who is alive. Lord, bring us to life again today. And I thank you for what you're going to accomplish today, in our services today, and as you help the Dallas Cowboys clinch the number 2 spot in the playoffs. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen, amen. Before you grab your seat, go ahead and say, go Cowboys. Go ahead and say, go Cowboys. Amen. Bob, are you a Cowboys fan? You are! See, the most anointed men always are. There's something to it. Praise the Lord. I've titled today's sermon, it's just a one-off thing, I think, just calling it Crowning the Year. Crown the Year. Amen. Listen, y'all gonna have to amen me today, okay? Because the fact I need some amens, because amen is like stepping on the gas of a sermon, okay? The more you amen, the faster we can get through this, praise the Lord, because I want to get through it all. So I'm gonna try that again. I've titled the sermon today, Crown the Year. Amen. Crown the year. It's one of my favorite verses to ring in a new year. As a matter of fact, we as a staff came together and we prayed over around this passage, and it's Psalm 65 and verse 11. The psalmist says, you, talking about God, you crown the year with your goodness. Who's thankful we serve a good God? You crown, come on, who's thankful we serve a good God? You crown the year with your goodness, your paths drip with abundance. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's some good drip right there. Turn to your neighbor and say, drip so hard. Come on. That's what the kids say. That's when you know, if you ever hear a young person say, love the drip, that means they like your outfit. I'm just trying to keep you relevant, church. But I love this. It says that God keeps our paths dripping with abundance. As a church, we are not afraid of that word, abundance. No, 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 we receive it. It is a godly word. It's a biblical word. He says that our paths will drip with abundance. They drop on the pastures of the wilderness. Come on. And the little hills, they rejoice on every side. Come on. The pastures, they are clothed with flocks. The valleys are also covered with grain. I love how he talks about that his goodness isn't just from the heights of the mountaintops, but his goodness even is with us in the shadow of the valley of death. He is the God of the hills and the valleys, and we take that to mean that sometimes just when it's hard and everything is hard. No, no, no. Even in the depths of the valleys, God's goodness is going to be made known in your life. Let's thank him for that. Amen. Come on, somebody. Amen. Let's praise him. Hallelujah. I just needed a drink break. And they shout for joy. Man, y'all shout a lot in Wave Church. Y'all, amen. Y'all clap a lot. Yeah, because it's just a good biblical thing to do. And it says that the people will shout for joy and they will sing of his goodness. Can I share some good reports with you, church? I want to share some good reports. I've already kind of alluded to it, but let's start with Christmas. Across our weekend of services, this was our largest weekend of services in the history of our church. We had our biggest single Christmas service ever this past Christmas. We had an all-time high single service, except with the exception of Easter that was earlier this year. Our Christmas weekend, we saw over 1,100 people come into the house of the Lord. We had 70 decisions for Christ in one weekend, y'all. Come on. We've never seen that. And they wanted me to share that our parking lot was also overflowing, praise the Lord. So if anybody would love to buy that property that is directly behind us so that we can use it for unto the glory of God, and you got like, I don't know, 10, 15 million laying around, just talk to me after service. I will not go to downtown if you would like to talk to me. I will stick around if you would love to buy that land behind us in Jesus' name. But here's a good report. Just for the year, 2023, I want to go ahead and share this for just for our 804 Richmond campuses, Glen Allen, downtown. We saw 681 decisions for Christ this year. It's the most we've ever seen in 1 year. Come on. No, you got to clap more than that. People that were headed for hell are secure in their eternity to heaven. 600. Come on, praise the Lord for that. And I thought last year was good. Listen, we had a 57% increase from last year. Are you serious? Come on, praise the Lord for that. God is doing good things. And more to come. We, you know, we're celebrating 25 years as a church next Sunday, but I kind of just feel like we're just getting started. Amen. Last year, 2023, people said it was Jordan year. Amen. Some people think he's the GOAT. I don't know. Maybe he is. Maybe he is. All I know is that it's 2024. It's the Kobe year, okay? And all I'm saying is no one ever shoots a piece of wadded up paper into a trash can and says Jordan. They always yell Kobe, even the Young Bucks. So praise the Lord. I don't care who you are. Jordan was last year. Listen, this year is the Kobe year. Can I get an amen? Who doesn't care at all what I'm talking about right now? They're like, what? Is he praying in tongues right now? No. Believing for a great year last year, but this year is Mamba mentality here. Praise the Lord. So let's make some plans. Let's talk about crowning our year with God's goodness, okay? Proverbs 16:9 says that a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. So if we're going to step into what I believe is going to be another fruitful year, I just believe we're going to have a Mamba Kobe 24 kind of year. It's going to be a good year. I got like an authentic Kobe jersey in my office right now. It's number 8, but is he the only NBA legend to ever have two numbers retired? Sounds like a double portion kind of year. Praise the Lord. Come on, somebody. I want to read a passage of scripture because I do want us thinking about our year. It's not really a vision casting type of message, but it is a getting our mind prepared and thinking about all that God wants to do this year. Amen. And where we're at. So if you have your Bibles, turn me to the book of Genesis. We're going to read Genesis chapter 16. If you have your Bible, go ahead and hold it up in the air one time for me. Hold it up. Turn to your neighbor and say, my Bible is good. Yeah. Genesis chapter 16. Yeah, I see you with your phone Bible, Andrew. Genesis chapter 16. We're reading a little bit of scripture, and then we're going to see what God, I really believe that the Holy Spirit took me to this passage for us today. And it says, Sarai, Abram's wife, had not been able to bear children for him, but she had an Egyptian servant named Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, the Lord has prevented me from having children, so go and sleep with my servant. Perhaps I can have children through her. So Sarai is essentially setting up a surrogate mother deal for Abram. God had promised, he'd made a covenant with Abram to say that you will be the father of many nations. Problem is, it hadn't happened yet. So in an effort to help God out, she tells her husband to sleep with her servant so that they can become pregnant as a family. Praise the Lord. This is not God endorsing this practice, by the way. Don't get any ideas. Okay, but what this is Sarai, Abram's wife, saying, let's help God out. We love helping God out, don't we? We love being like, well, God, you promised this, so let me help you out because it hasn't happened yet. What I discovered in thinking about praying about this passage is that just because you want something really, really bad does not make it the will of God. I'm just being honest. Abram agreed with Sarai's proposal, verse 3. So Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, the Egyptian servant, gave her to Abram as a wife. And so Abram had sexual relations with Hagar, and she became pregnant. But when Hagar knew that she was pregnant, she began to treat her mistress, Sarai, with contempt. You know what this is called? Baby mama drama. It's the original version of it. Sarai said to Abram, this is all your fault. Is it, though? Okay, let's keep moving. I put my servant into your arms, but now that she's pregnant, she treats me with contempt. Okay, we just started the timer. That was all for free. The Lord will show who's wrong, you or me. And Abram replied, look, she is your servant, so deal with her as you see fit. Abram's over it. He's thrown his hands up in the air. He's like, I am tired of all of this drama, just whatever. And then Sarai treated Hagar so harshly that she finally ran away. The angel of the Lord found Hagar beside a spring of water in the wilderness along the road to Shur. Some will say the road to Shur. And the angel said to her, Hagar, Sarai's servant, where have you come from? And where are you going? Two questions that we're going to consider today. I'm running away from my mistress, Sarai, she replied. The angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit to her authority. And he added, I will give you more descendants than you can count. Okay, so this passage, it's a whole complicated mess. I pray that none of you ever find yourself in anything that even resembles this kind of drama. But what it does, and what I believe that God highlighted in this passage, is two super important questions that I think can really frame for us the beginning of 2024. Two questions. Where have you come from, and where are you going? Let's talk about the first question. Where have you come from? This establishes perspective. Where have you come from? This helps us establish our starting point for this year. Some people are like, whatever, it's a new year, it's just another day, it's just some, you know, whatever, we just created the calendar, no big deal, one day is as good as another. I don't believe that. I actually believe, like, the Bible, I feel like, commends the sons of Issachar in the scriptures for people who know the times and the seasons. And so I believe for us as a people of God, this first Sunday, it is a momentous Sunday. It matters. And actually, we are a people who are supposed to redeem things, and I believe that this is a timely, opportune time to actually make a difference, to make a change, to change our route. But before you can start thinking about that, I think the more important question to begin with is, where have you come from? Has anybody ever messed up putting directions into their phone GPS? Have you ever, like, done it wrong? I know that's almost a silly question to do, but I've put in directions in my phone. I've tried to click navigate. I tried to put in the address in the destination portion. And have you ever tried to click the blue button? I don't know what you use. How many people use Apple Maps? Okay, who uses, like, do people still use Waze? Is that a thing? Okay, now let God's people reply. Who uses Google Maps? Okay, praise the Lord. Yes, the chosen, the anointed ones. I don't know if this is a Google Maps problem, but, like, I've tried to punch in something, get it in, and click the blue button to get the navigation started, and for whatever reason, like, it wasn't giving me the turn-by-turn. It wasn't giving me the navigation, and I was like, what is going on? Like, anybody ever done that? Know what I'm talking about? The Waze lobbyist here said that Waze doesn't do that, and I was like, what is that? Well, I figured out what it was. I put in the destination just fine, but because I already had a previous address in the starting point, it wasn't navigating me by where I currently was. It was giving me directions from where I was before to where I want to go. See, navigation only works when your location is your starting point. Navigation only works when your location is your starting point. Where are you? And in thinking about where you need to go, you've got to red dot yourself. You've got to figure out, I am here, and you got to figure out where that is. The very first question that God asked Adam after he was trying to hide from God. I wonder how many of you feel like you're hiding from God today. Well, guess what? God asks you, where are you? In this year, how many people are trying to lose some weight, get fit? Do we still believe in losing weight? Are we good with that? Do we think it's healthy? Do we still believe in getting fit? Amen. Praise the Lord. I think that's a good endeavor. And I know I had a friend who was talking with me. He's like, man, I was scared to even get on the scale. I don't even want to see the number right now. Like, there's some of us. This is what we do, though. We hide from our starting point. Amen? There's some of us, like, you want to see your finances get better and healthier, but you're scared to even look at your budget this year. Like, there's some of you, and you're thinking about all the things that you want to see, and you have all these lofty goals, but can I tell you, you can't go anywhere until you answer the question, where have you come from? Couple questions, couple thoughts in answering this question, where have you come from? Here's some, a couple thoughts that I think will help you. Firstly, you got to face your past. You got to face your past. You need to reveal the past to get a revelation for your future. Now, I'm not talking about necessarily reopening some old closed wounds. I'm not talking about rehashing some old fights and all the married people said. Amen. But I am talking about letting Jesus into your closet this year. Ephesians chapter 5, 11, and I love how the Message paraphrase puts it. Don't waste your time on useless work, mere busy work, the barren pursuits of darkness. Expose these things for the sham that they are. It's a scandal when people waste their lives on things they must do in the darkness where no one will see. Rip the cover off those frauds and see how attractive they look in the light of Christ. Turn to your neighbor and say, you look much more attractive in the light of Christ. Go ahead, tell somebody. Don't let it get weird. You know what happens? When you bring the where you've come from under the light of Christ, that's when you'll start to see breakthrough in any area of your life. Not from running from it like Hagar did. There's a lot of us that there is things that we need. Who's got some things that they would love to leave behind in 2023? Amen. There's some things that you're just I'm going to leave that in the past. Amen. I encourage you in doing that. The problem is that too many of us confuse leaving stuff in a previous year behind us with running from our problems. Those are two different things. And so I want to tell you, whatever it is that you're believing God to bless, whatever abundance that you're believing God for, whatever good things that you're believing God to bring into your life, I promise you it starts by facing the areas that God has called you not to just run away from, but to actually walk through. Can I get an amen? Everything in our natural wants to run away from the things that we need to face up. But I believe God oftentimes, most, I feel like every time, God is not the God that just teleports us out of our problems. He is a rescuer indeed. But I believe that more often than not, God proves his faithfulness to us by showing his power, by showing his grace, by showing his love, by walking with us through our problems. So I want to encourage you. Maybe there's some things you are scared to face up this year. Be encouraged. The God of all heavens is the God that will never leave you or forsake you or abandon you. That's worth praising the Lord for. Amen. Face your past. Where have you come from? Second thought, get accountable. Get accountable. Turn to your neighbor and say, get accountable. Here's what we always say. No change happens outside of accountability. Amen. You want to lose weight? Guess what? You're going to have to get some accountability. You're going to have to get somebody, whether it's your digital Peloton instructor. I'm convinced some of these people aren't even real people. They're AI. They are AI humans. Right? Whether it's your gym partner, right? Whether it's somebody like holding you accountable to what you're eating for lunch, praise the Lord, whatever it may be. But if it's your finances, listen, you're going to need some accountability. Right? You'll need someone who's walking with you, who's checking in on you. For me, I've allowed a select small group of people to challenge me in my life about my thinking, about my actions, even my words. Amen. And I want to ask you, who's challenging you to live beyond where you've come from? My wife and I, we were having a conversation even yesterday, and we were just talking about some of our past and facing up to some of our past, and I was thinking about, like, literally, like, there's some thoughts that I used to have that just were unhealthy. There were some things that I held on to, like, just from the way my family of origin, and come on, who came up from a jacked-up family of origin? Yeah, come on. You know you really jacked up when you put your hand up high for that question. You're like, yep, trophy of grace right here. Praise the Lord. And there was just some stuff that was just some beliefs, some thoughts that I had that were just not conducive to a healthy marriage. And we were just like facing some of those things yesterday and talking about them. And like, man, honestly, being even accountable to your spouse. Amen? And so like some of the greatest changes that we've had in our marriage is like just me even being accountable to my wife about some things. Who is challenging you to live beyond where you've come from? Who's challenging you to live financially wiser this year? Because God doesn't want his people broke. God wants his people blessed. Because when we're blessed, we get to accomplish the mission of God for us on this earth. Amen? We get to be the blessing. We get to be the answer. Amen? I'm believing for us to be the answer to that single mom. That's the church's job. I need some people being like, Pastor, how can I help? Okay, let's keep going. Who's challenging you to get physically healthier this year? We have a gym here in the building. Did you know that? There's a micro gym upstairs. This year, if your goal is to get healthier, get you a lift every Sunday after service. Praise the Lord. When you live accountable, it gets you out of mediocre. When you live accountable, it gets you out of average. And guess where most people live? Average. Otherwise, it wouldn't be called the average. But I believe God wants us to live excellent lives. Amen? And so get accountable. Get some challenge in your life. Get in a community group. Listen, if you want your life to be as average as it was last year, if you want your life to be same-o as it was last year, if you want yourself continuing to have the same negative thoughts, attitudes, responses as last year, whatever you do, do not join a community group. But if you're believing for God to begin to do a fresh work in your life, get around some godly people. Because iron sharpens iron, and plans fail or succeed based on the multitude of counsel. Amen. All right. Second question that we are working with Hagar about. The angel asks her, where have you come from? Pray that these thoughts will help you identify that answer. But the second question that the angel of the Lord immediately asks Hagar is, where are you going? Where are you going this year? What are you doing this year? Where are you headed this year? This is where your goals for the year really start to take shape. And this is the question that should point you to who you want to be. Verse 7, we're going to read this text again because there's something really fascinating in here. It says that the angel of the Lord found Hagar beside a spring of water in the wilderness along the road to Shur. I love that. You can preach a whole message just on that line. Are you on the road to Shur? Yeah, sure, whatever. Are you on the road to Shur? That's not even my point, though. Verse 8, the angel said to her, Hagar, Sarai's servant, where have you come from and where are you going? I'm running away from my mistress. He asks her two questions. She gives one answer. I'm running away. For her, the answer to both was the same answer. Where are you going? I'm running away. Where have you come from? I'm running away. Hagar's life in that moment was perpetuating more of the same. And here's what you have to know. The road to Shur, do you know what this road is? This is the road back to Egypt. This is the road back to where she came from. This is the road to Egypt. Egypt represents sin. Egypt represents the old gods, the old idols. Egypt represents her old life, the anti-God life, the going backwards life. And if the answer to the Lord, when he asks you, where are you going, is the same answer to where have you come from, and your answer is I'm running back to Egypt, dear God, let there be breakthrough in your life. Because how many people have really been rescued, restored, and redeemed from a terrible life of sin? Make some noise or raise your hand.
All right, listen. All the buttoned up goody two shoes, this part is not for you. Okay, this part is for the people who've really been redeemed and set free. Listen, there will come a season in your life. On the other side of you knowing the goodness of being set free, on the other side of you knowing what it is to have shackles taken off of you in the spirit, and you're going to walk in the good and the blessed and the fruitful life of God. But there will come a season, my friends, where Egypt will come a calling. Well, Egypt will rear its ugly head and said, man, do you remember how good it was being in Egypt? And he will believe the lie of how good it was being in bondage. In this time where she feels like, man, I got my rulers over me, man, the king, the queen, like man, Abram and Sarai, like, man, she's on my case, man, my boss is on my case, my wife is on my case, I can't stand my kids, my business is failing. Man, how good was it to be in bondage? And the lie of the enemy will get you to look back. And we'll start to get you to think, man, maybe that bondage was kind of nice. Listen, I'm believing for this year to be a year of abundance. I'm believing for this year to be fresh inspiration. I'm believing for great favor and expansion over your life. But more importantly, I am praying over you. Do not grow weary in doing good. Keep looking forward. Keep serving God. Keep honoring him. Stop looking back at Egypt, because the truth is there is a difference between facing your past and entertaining your past. Yeah, face your past, just don't get caught up in your past. Can I get an amen? Two quick thoughts about looking ahead to your future. Number one, live a life of conviction. Live a life of conviction. Conviction means the unwavering belief in something. And conviction comes from walking lockstep in the leading of the Holy Spirit. And here's what I've seen. Show me a person with strong convictions, and I will show you someone who God is always taking forward, always growing, always changing, always overcoming. Not perfect, not you've got it all figured out, not that no ill will or bad thing could be said about you, but my God, by the grace of God, you might be taking three steps forward, one step back. That a strong conviction, it's honestly another way of putting it, it's what the Bible calls repentance. It is a fancy word for you were headed one way, but with the grace of God and conviction from the Holy Spirit, you flip the script towards his way. You cannot change your destination overnight, but you can change your direction in a second. Every time we gather, I pray that the Holy Spirit would convict hearts. That way that you've been thinking about your job needs to change. I pray, every time I gather, I pray, God, remind this person that the headaches of their job, career, and business that they're walking through in this season is the very thing they prayed for in the last. I pray for that. I walk into church and I pray, God, convict some people. I convict them. God, their spouse that they keep complaining about, that's the same spouse that they fell madly head over heels about. Convict them. This is the person that you gave them. Convict them. God, I pray, parents, convict them. I don't know if I like this, Pastor. I pray, God, convict them. I know parents who had struggles having children. They get the kids, and they complain about them same kids. What? Convict them. God, bring a spirit of conviction on them. Listen, God, and you know we can prevent God from doing stuff. Yeah, we can. And I believe when we don't have this sense of thankfulness, I actually believe we put a limit on what God can do. When we have unforgiveness in our heart, I believe God can limit what we can do. Jesus really says to us, you have unforgiveness in your heart, go settle that before you even come to me. Like, God feels that strongly about this. Live a life of conviction. Amen. Lastly, gosh, we're making great time. Praise the Lord. See beyond your decisions. You want to answer the question of where are you going? See beyond your decisions. Have an eye to where your decisions are actually taking you. Have a vision for what's on the other side of this season and your decisions. Don't just think about what you have to do. Don't just think about the goals that you have to set. No. Think about the other side of when you walk in obedience to what God has called you to do. Because even think about this. Verse 9, the angel of the Lord says to Hagar, return to your mistress, submit to her authority. Woo, praise God. Abram and Sarai represents God's goodness. As a matter of fact, it talks in the New Testament about how Sarai is a picture of bondage and slavery and how Abram and Sarai are a picture of freedom and grace. But anyway, the angel of the Lord says to her, return your mistress, submit to her authority. Ooh, return back to the ways of God and submit to his authority. Whew. You could never go wrong by returning and submitting. Come on, that one's for free. It says, return your mistress, submit to her authority. Then he added, I will give you more descendants than you can count, which still kind of blows my mind when you really think about it. Because God's grace, even for this situation, knowing the fruit of the line of Hagar, God's grace was still there. God blows my mind sometimes. I'm like, but you saw the future, right? Anyway, okay. God understands we are motivated when we look beyond our current decision into our preferred future. We are change averse. So for most of us, here's the God honest truth. Here's what I've learned. I love this phrase. We will not change until the pain of staying the same is greater than the perceived pain of change. We don't like change, but the truth is, some of us need to get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I believe in this year, like Kobe had to change from 8 to 24, in this 2024, maybe for you need to change your ways. And when you do it, don't just think about what you have to do. No. Think beyond the now. Think about how good your health's going to be. Think how you're going to be able to play with your kids. Think about how your health and your vigor for life is going to be renewed and restored. Think about how you're not going to wake up just in pain. No. When you get your money right, don't think about how hard it's going to be just like in this season. No. Think about the freedom that you're going to have. Think about the stress that's going to fall off your shoulders. When you think about the hard yards that you need to do in your own, maybe even in your own mental health, I ain't scared of it. No, like the hard work that you have to do now, the tiring work that you have to do now, the change that you need to make, man, it's probably going to be a struggle bus in this season. But think about how much health you're going to walk into. Think about the weight off in your marriage. Think about when you walk into your house, you're not going to be walking on eggshells. There's going to be joy. There's going to be peace. God says, don't just look in the now. Think about the descendants, the generation, and the legacy of goodness that will come on the backside of that. Amen? Good two questions. Worship team, come on up. I got one more question. Can I throw a third question at you? Gosh, and then we're gonna pray. The last question comes out of Mark chapter 10, verse 46. Jesus and the disciples, they reached Jericho, and as Jesus and the disciples left town, a large crowd followed him. There was a blind beggar named Bartimaeus who was sitting beside the road, and Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, and he began to shout, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the crowd said, be quiet. He only shouted louder, Son of David, have mercy on me. That's a good thing to shout unto God. It's a good thing. And Jesus heard him. He stopped and said, tell him to come here. And they called the blind man. They said, cheer up, come on, he's calling you. How quick the crowd flips in this moment, right? By the way, crowds are fickle. Amen. The same crowd who was like, yo, shut this dude up. Was like, hey, come on. Yo, didn't you hear him? Come on, get over here. Bartimaeus threw aside his coat. He jumped up and he came to Jesus. And verse 51 says, what do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked. Jesus, 100% man, 100% God. Jesus knew the answer to this question. The guy's literally called blind Bartimaeus. My rabbi, the blind man, said, I want to see. Jesus said, go, for your faith has healed you. Instantly, the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. My third question is very simply, what do you want Jesus to do? This year, the question's not just, where have you been? Where'd you come from? The question is not, what goals do you have? The question is not, where are you going to go and how are you going to get there? My third question is probably the most important question. What do you want Jesus to do? Here's the goodness of God and an important realization that you need to have. God is cool with you telling him what you want him to do, so long as you are looking to him for the answer to that question. As long as you understand him as the source of the answer to that question. What do you want Jesus to do? And I don't mean that in some like cliche, oh, what do you want Jesus to do? What do you want God to do this year? Like, make sure you bring Jesus into your life. No. Jesus gave this guy a blank check. I believe it was a blank check moment. Remember that movie Blank Check? Who remembers that movie Blank Check? Greatest kids movie ever made. Still holds up. What if this guy just said, hey, Jesus says, what do you want me to do? What if Bartimaeus is just like, God, could you get me out of debt? I got some debtors that I owe some money to. Can you get me out of this? What if Bartimaeus was like, hey, God, I really need a promotion this year. Could you help me with a promotion? Right, what if Bartimaeus' answer was like, Lord, could you please help with the interest rates this year? Right. But actually, Bartimaeus, who is named in our scriptures, which matters. Sometimes it's just there was a man. Bartimaeus, he has a name. Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you, Bartimaeus? Bartimaeus says, Lord, he says, I want to see. I want to see. What do you want Jesus to do this year? Not what are you believing you can do. Not what are you hoping might turn good. Not just like what would be nice. Not would just be like, oh, man, I'd be so much happier if. No. No. What are you asking God for that only he can do? Because when we come to him and we affirm him as our Lord and as our Savior and as our source, can I tell you, God wants to do so much more than just bring a little extra cheddar into your bank account, than to just help you cut a few pounds. No, no, no. God wants to heal the broken. God wants to do miracles in your life. God wants to restore your family. God wants to break generational curses off of you. God wants to break chains off of you. God is wanting to break down strongholds off of you. God is wanting to kill the cancer off of you. God is wanting to bring the prodigal son back into the family of God. God wants to do a miracle in your life. And I believe that as the people of God, we've got to walk in this belief that we are called, we're set apart, we're blessed, and we are anointed.